that's item six. Agenda item seven, which starts on page 61, and I'll ask Councillor Mercer as the lead member and Alison Simmons to present it. As you're getting yourselves settled, I do like the case studies, which I think make it very clear to us what type of thing. I must admit, when I first heard of this some years ago, a light bulb service model, I thought it was to do with light bulbs. And I held my hand up to that. Well,
you soon got it right, though.
I did. But I was, you know.
I'm saying nothing, but I thought the same.
Thank you. See, you didn't admit it either, until I did. Carry on, I am listening.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. The purpose of light bulb, as the report explains, is to ultimately to deliver savings, to improve what's called the customer journey, the way in which they relate to the system as customers, and to improve the efficiency and to make it more cost effective. The way in which the system has been devised is again, as explained, is a hub and spoke system based in Blaby. Perhaps it would have been more appropriate to call it the bicycle wheel rather than light bulb, which would have better explained it, but we're stuck with light bulb. The Cabinet agreed to implement this after a lot of careful thought as to whether it was to our advantage in May last year, and it went live in October. And we believe that the model is essentially sound and that it is leading to an improvement in the service. The only challenge at the moment is that of reducing the waiting list, but we're certainly confident that this is something that's in hand, that's something that's been tackled, and that by the next time we report, that won't be an issue and everything will be working absolutely smoothly.
Thank you. Alison Simmons, Head of Strategic and Private Sector Housing. Just to add a bit further context in relation to the actual service model, back in, I think it was 2012 this possibly started, where we started looking at how health and housing could work closer together. And then obviously we got Transformation Challenge Award funding, and then we looked at a programme to see how we could improve services. So it's about delivering services to health and the care economy by part providing housing support and to help people to live independently. It was also, as Councillor Mercer already alluded to, improving the customer journey so that they can access at one point and get a number of services, and to provide efficient and cost-effective service delivery, and especially in relation to disabled facility grants, which is the council's statutory duty to deliver. So just to give a figure that's not included in the report, because I've really concentrated on the new model rather than the disabled facilities grants. But since we've gone live, and we went live in January, because although across the county we went live in October, because Charnwood chose to be a locality team, so different to all the rest of the districts and boroughs where Blaby are running their service for them, we were prior to that going 26 weeks to go through a disabled facility grant, and that's now been reduced to 15 weeks. So at a local level, in the way services are provided, what we've got the statutory duty to provide as a local district, we've obviously improved the service. The other aspects that we take forward is what we've been delegated by the County Council, and this is where the housing support coordinators go out, and Councillor Mercer will hate me using this word, but they've come out a holistic assessment. So what they're looking at there is about managing people to remain independently in their home. So it's not just about can they get upstairs, can they wash themselves, but it's the affordability. Are they lonely? Do they need any a carer's assessment? And on page 66 in one of the case studies, I've listed the additional items other than obviously providing a stair lift or providing a bath board, etc., as to where referrals have been made, so like a smoke alarm's been arranged, a tariff check in relation to the service person's utilities, so to make sure they're not paying too much for their electric, because obviously as they get older they need more heating on, so it's looking at those types of things. assistive technology, what else is out there to help people so that it shows when somebody hasn't got out of bed or has fallen, etc. And of course the benefit check, making sure that people are receiving the benefits that they're entitled to. And lastly, where the case studies show where a son has been helping, it's making sure there's a carer's assessment, because you've got a carer, but you've got to make sure their needs are being looked after as well. So when our housing support coordinator goes in, they get out the housing MOT, they assess every single aspect of that person's life, how they're moving around the house. And it could be just as simple as, probably already in here on one of these case studies, but they can't carry a cup of tea from the kitchen to the chair. So give them a trolley, but at the same time you can't just give them a trolley, because if they've got the carpet grips, you've got to make sure they can get over those. You might have to do some other work as well to make sure they can smoothly run from the kitchen to the sofa, to make sure they're obviously not hurting themselves in the process. In relation to the waiting list, there is a waiting list, and when we took on the scheme, because obviously from October to January the Blaby team with the central hub, where they help with the resilience, were trying to keep some of the cases moving forward, and anything that was a disabled facility grant obviously came through to us, and we took that through the normal processes. We are looking at now what we can do to obviously bring that down, as Councillor Mercer has mentioned, and we are working with the central hub to try and get additional resources where we can, or look at who are on the waiting list and see how we can break that down to deliver it. But I think for me, the model provides a resident with, you speak to one person, you get all the aspects of what you need dealt with, and so to me the model is good.
Okay, any? Councillor Huddleston.
I'm less concerned with the numbers of people on the waiting list, and more how long they wait. So is at one point you said something about a change from 26 weeks to 15 weeks?
That's not the waiting list, sorry. There's two distinct things. Yeah. You've got the housing support coordinator that does everything. They do stair lifts, and they do flush floor showers, but anything that is bigger, say an extension or a ramp, some ramps, again, will be done by the housing support coordinator, depends on the complexity. But this is where we take somebody through the process of needing an extension for, say, a child case, and that now takes 15 weeks to assess. Obviously, you've got the work after that.
In terms of this waiting list, then, is the waiting time remaining static, or are you managing to bring that down, even if the numbers are still high?
The oldest case currently is August, and we are making contact with the people on the list to discuss what the issues are, to see what can be put in place in the meantime while we work with the central hub to try and get some resilience. The aim of having the central hub was there was two senior housing support coordinators that could then assist where there was a shortfall in delivery. But what I would say is we have a waiting list for housing support coordinators, and our DFGs have improved, where the other local authorities have less people on their waiting list for housing support coordinators, but their DFGs are considerably poorer in their delivery.
Mm. If I could make just a general comment.
Councillor Hunt.
Sorry, my apologies. Mm-hmm. Just make a general comment. I think you've done very well, actually, with the Disabled Facilities Grant reduction in waiting time. That's when they actually get the equipment they actually need, and I think that's very important. So well done.
Thank you. Any other points? Councillor Forrest.
Just very quickly, I think it's an excellent report, Alison. Thank you. You know, part of this is to keep people in their own homes for as long as possible. Very often the crisis comes when people have to go into care. A crisis comes, it's because the carer can no longer cope. There is a breakdown in the carer's health or anything. And I just wonder, and the answer may be no, but is there anywhere in this scheme where there is a carer's assessment? Is there a side-by-side scheme that assesses the carer's needs?
Yeah, on page 66, in case study 2, where I've got the quite a few bullet points in relation to the additional
referrers. So can you give me the page number again?
66.
Thank you.
We actually made a carer's assessment information to be sent to the son about help and support for his mum. So that assessment was made at that point. And I think the other thing I failed to say when I mentioned about the case studies, I think we need to look at the ages of the people concerned, 90, 87, and I think it's 93, you know, the age of the people that are still managing to live independently because of the services that have been provided.
Okay. Mm. Thank you very much. Excellent. Really good news.
Good.
Thank you.
Sorry. Thank you. I have read that. I've just missed that bit. I'm so sorry, Alice.
All right.
You can't read everything, can you?
No, right. Not at all. Thank you. Right. Thank you. Agenda item 8 was just we asked for the data by directorate level. Now, we can't, we are strategic, we're not operational as councillors, so we can't tell directorates how to manage it. But I like to think, having been here some years now, I think it's one or two of us around the table have been here a long time, that we are a caring council and we don't force our staff back to full-time or part-time work if they're not in their healthy condition, and I would not like that change. So I don't, what I'm trying to say is the figures might not be what we would ideally want. We want 100% fit, bearing in mind the number of people that are employed by this council and the type of work that's undertaken. And I know from my previous positions in this council, each directorate takes extremely care with their staff, because the last thing they want is staff to be unable to work or not being given the proper care. So I do think we have to be put that into context. But I think, Adrian, you were going to help us if we needed any other information. I think if you look at the percentage of staff and everything, but I think we have to be careful. Also, I think someone pointed out earlier the middle one, the housing, planning and regulation, but I think you have an explanation as well.
I wasn't proposing to say very much on this, Chair, rather than... Really, the way we manage sickness absence within this council is all predicated on dealing with individual cases on a case-by-case basis. So there obviously are variations between directorates. I think if you split this down even further by team, there will be variations between teams. Just to point out, the Housing Planning and Regeneration and Regulatory Services Directorate does include a lot of our frontline manual workers, so that would include the Housing Responsive Repairs team, who are out and about, obviously coming into contact with a lot of people in their own homes and therefore potentially picking up colds and flu and that sort of thing, but also potentially having accidents. I'm not saying a lot of this sickness absence is callbacks. So I'm just saying potentially they are people that are working with tools in a manual environment. Speaking for myself, I have just over 30 people in my service area. I probably know when any individual member of staff is off sick, but all of our heads of service get a monthly report that highlights every single individual sickness absence within their service area that month, and also highlights individual members of staff who have met the triggers for further action to be taken within the absence management policy. And I make sure that my team managers are taking appropriate action if people have met the triggers. So that's how I manage sickness within my own service area. I'll try and answer any questions, but obviously I'm not an expert on each individual directorate and the detail within it. I have overall responsibility for this because HR falls within my service area.
I think, as I said earlier, I think we just have to look at this. This is the information we asked for, and we've now got the information. But from all the directorates that I've dealt with, and most of us have throughout our time here in the council, all directorates are very caring, and from us that have done this type of thing in other positions, for example school governors and things like that, you only need one or two people that have long-term problems, or we can't tell people that they must come to work, it can affect the figures. So I think we asked for this information, we've got it. So unless anybody's got anything to do, Councillor Hudson.
Just a comment, I think that the supplementary report, I think we'll need to see that a few times to see if there are any trends. If I'm reading the detailed information correctly, from the performance report, the number of individuals who are on long-term sick has gone down significantly. 21 to 14.
What page are you on?
On page 60. Grand totals there. I think the first couple of columns are the number of people.
Yeah.
I think it's telling me that 21 people in quarter one were on long-term sick, and only 14 in quarter two. So that suggests on page 60 at the bottom.
Yes. I think
that suggests that the your HR policies are working well. If you're getting the, because it's the long term sick that generate a lot of the absences, and they seem to be coming down, so it was just a well being.
I think, I mean, yes, and I think if you delve into it, there's all sorts of things that affect these statistics. The average age of an employee here, the average gender pregnancy, all sorts of things come into effect. So, anyway, I don't think. Are there any other points other than we've got this information, we've had it. Thank you very much. Okay, we'll now move on to item 9, which is on page 70, and it's the satisfaction surveys website. I think Mr. Roberts is going to join us for this. We don't very often get Mr. Roberts in front of the performance panel, so you make the most of it, people.
Good evening, members. Mike Roberts, Communications Manager. I'm going to talk to you about the website and the satisfaction ratings. So, as you'll see from the report, and as you will know from previous performance frequency panels, the website satisfaction rating has been below target for a bit of time now. Now, just a bit of context, my team took responsibility of this indicator in April. So we've been looking at it since then, really. And as a bit of background, website feedback is gathered via GovMetric. GovMetric is also used for telephone and face-to-face. And telephone and face-to-face are always higher than the website. Having spoken to GovMetric, this is saying for every council that uses the system, website feedback is always lower than face-to-face and telephone. I think the thought behind that is with website, there's no human interaction. So when somebody's giving some feedback, there's nobody there to help put them right. It's probably easier to be a bit negative when you haven't got a person involved. And literally the easiest way to give feedback, you are literally tapping a button on your phone, your device, at any time of the day or night. So that, I think, for me, is probably why it's always going to be the poorer relative of the feedback ratings. Just a bit of context about the website itself. It's really six websites or something like that, our website. We have the main, the homepage and the information pages, which are is a website built by Cuttlefish, but then we have bolt-on sites as well, so Capita, Planning Explorer, modern.gov. These are all websites which are connected to our main website. I control the homepage and the information pages built by Cuttlefish. Capita, Planning Explorer control the bolt-on sites. People will only see the one website. So the issue was, one of the issues was the number of ratings we were getting via GovMetric. So in quarter one this year we were 248. Since then we have redesigned the website, as we've been planning to do since last year. As part of that redesign, we swapped the GovMetric pop-up, which used to appear at the side of the website and in the corner. So on mobile devices, which is where most of our comes from, it's quite small. We've now made it an integral part of every page. So every web page you will see a box at the bottom with the smiley faces on. Since we've done that, we've nearly quadrupled our rating. So In quarter one, there were 248, quarter two, 974. And that trend is continuing. I looked at GovMetrics, top 10 websites for October, just as a bit of a comparison. And the number of ratings we're getting is comparable. So the top three rated website was Stevenage with 446 ratings. After that, Oxford City Council, which is a unitary, provides more services. There were 326. And then the States of Jersey was third with 346. And they do everything. And Charnwood, we have 477 ratings in October, so our numbers are definitely up. But just as a bit further context, 477 ratings, we had about 50,000 users and devices on the website in October, and we got 477 ratings. So if you can roughly equate one user to being a person or a device, that's, you know, less than 1% of people are giving feedback. But again, that appears comparable with everybody else. In terms, you could, and so that's less than 1% giving actual feedback. And in terms of people giving negative average ratings, it worked out about 0.5%. So you could say 99.5% of people using the website.
Nice try.
I didn't have to put that in at the end. So when we get these ratings, some people leave a comment and tell us what the problem is. We're only about a third in October, and that's kind of standard. And of that third, you know, if half of those are poor on average, they're the ones we focus upon. So somebody can give us a poor rating, and quite often they don't tell us what the issue is, so we have to guess whether it's the page or just have a look. Some people tell us what the issue is, and the comms team gets an email straight away, or more or less straight away. We look at it almost straight away, and if there's an issue, if a link is broken, that's easy to fix. If it's a piece of information that's missing, we could look at whether we needed to add it. So if we can find the problem, we can fix it straight away. And if the customer's left details, we can let them know what we've done, or we can ask them for a bit more information. Sometimes it's not an issue we can always remedy straight away. So if it's a third-party site like Planet Explorer or Capita, we have to pass it on to the service. It's not something we can control, but I'm sure they will look at it, and if there's anything that can be done, can be done, will be done. And then sometimes it's, you know, people using the website have different levels of ability and capability on the website, so they might not be able to find a piece of information, but it is quite often on there somewhere. Quite often with GovMetric ratings, it's not related to the website at all. They will tell us about a bin that's been missed. That's not the website. It's you can request and report that. They've been waiting on the phone. Yeah, it's not an issue with the website. So some of these ratings we're getting aren't always directed at the website itself. So as well as redesigning the site and making GovMetric more visible, we've also changed the questions on GovMetric. They haven't been reviewed in about 6 years, and the questions were quite a few, and led people towards giving feedback on the service in some cases, and what we wanted, what this is for, is feedback on the website. So we've changed the questions, made them shorter, made them more focused, and we introduced those on October the 23rd. So looking at GovMetrics since October the 23rd, when the ratings were changed, our satisfaction rating, the number of smiley faces, is 53%. So early days, early days. Early days, but it's a positive start. And the number of ratings is broadly similar, if not up. So in fact, if we carry on for this quarter, if we carry at this rate for this quarter, quarter three, we'll have 1,200 ratings. So we are getting more feedback. I think we probably need to give it a little bit of time to see how the trend pans out. What we're also doing is GovMetric have introduced some new features. So we can now get, when somebody presses on one of the smiley faces or unsmiley faces, we can ask a bit more detail about, is it a certain part of the page they're not happy with? Is it an image? Is it a bit of information? We may have the capability to embed GovMetric on some of the third-party sites, so Capita, Plan and Explorer, but that would require a bit of cooperation from those third-party sites, and there may be technical issues. We need to look at that. If we do that, it could mean we actually get more negative feedback, because they may spot issues with these third-party sites they haven't given feedback before. I'm not saying that's a bad thing. The more they tell us, the more we know, and the more the chance of making it better. We'll also be doing a bit more of an in-depth look on what are our problem pages, what are the ones that regularly get the poor ratings. So looking at the past couple of months, one of the pages that gets the most negative ratings is the contact page, where all the phone numbers are. And the reason for the negative rating is often time taken. So there is a possibility people are on the phone and they're not getting through quick enough, and they're on the website and giving us a poor rating because they can't get through on the phone. That's a bit of speculation or what could be happening, but probably worth a thought. We're also going to commission a piece of work to look at accessibility on the website as well. So we want to make sure our website is as accessible as possible. Early this year, before the revamp, there's an organisation called Socketim. I may have mentioned it at this meeting or to other people before. They have a scheme called Better Connected, where they rate all council websites. And this year our website got 4 stars for the first time based on some tasks and some information, and it follows a lot of work we've been doing in the past couple of years. So that's one measurement of, it seems to be in a good place. But obviously the GovMetric is a more direct customer feedback. On the Socketim report, accessibility was okay, but there was still room for improvement. So that's why we're going to take a look at it and make sure it's as accessible as possible. I think that's everything.
Thank you. Councillor Bevington.
Thank you, Chair. It's notoriously difficult to make judgments when you've only got a small sample and a very large pool.
Sure, yep.
I have to admit that one of the things that annoys me most about the current website is, and I do use it quite a lot, is every time I go on it, I get this GDPR statement.
Oh, we have
that, yes, I know, but it drives me up the wall. I'm already in a bad mood by the time I've actually got anywhere useful. I appreciate what it is, but I think it needs looking at to see whether you can actually cut it down. And because it, every time I go on there without fail, and it's driving me spare.
Okay.
In terms of the website itself, since I've been using it, it has been a lot better. I still have problems with Planning Explorer. I do actually have problems with the page of contact us as well. Some of it, I'm sure, is because of the different operating systems that people use nowadays. Also the fact that the packages, as you quite rightly say, come from different sources, and therefore they have different ways of doing things. And that's bound to generate its own problem anyway, because there isn't consistency internally within the software. So I appreciate you haven't got the easiest job in the world. But I think that there's still a long way to go, I'm afraid, before it'll be a good system. I'm not saying that to blame you. I just think that it's a difficult job to do.
I find it very easy to use. I have no problem with it. Or Planning
Explorer. No, I still have. I go into Planning Explorer, for example, and when I click on something, then nothing happens, or I can't get through to. I mean, I usually use the specific number.
Yeah.
That because that's normally available, and sometimes it's, you know, just doesn't seem to accept it. Sure. Don't know why.
Through you, Chair, I'd be very happy to take that offline with Councillor Burmington and try to find a solution.
Okay, sort it out.
Thanks.
Just a quick one. Have we got plans to introduce live chat to it that might just pick up some of the general queries?
There is a proposal to introduce web chat. Lots of issues around that. Is it going to be 24/7? Probably might need to be. You've got to resource that because somebody's got to do it. So web chat actually would probably help this a lot because that's where if somebody's got a problem,
can
point them towards and fix the problem. But yeah, there are implications around web chat. It sounds really easy to do, but there are definitely resource implications to it.
Still a good report. Better than it was 15 years ago. That one.
Are you still at school?
Yeah, well, he was still at school then. We were here trying to get it to work. Weren't we, Sandra? Yes. And Jane. Right. Any questions for Mike?
No.
Nope. And you've got the offer, personal tuition from Mr. Bennett.
And it's very much appreciated.
Good.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thanks very much.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Did you get your photos that you wanted?
I got my photos.
Oh dear.
Tweeted.
Oh dear.
You missed the best one.
Action show.
Councillor Barley took one of you and while you were in.
It's just World Tweet Day, isn't it?
It is, yes.
Well, you're included.
Right. We'll move on because we're just about on time, aren't we? We move on to the work programme. And who's leading on this?
Just for information, Chair, you may recall that you scrutinised the zero waste strategy in its mid life cycle, and Scrutiny Management Board have decided that when the government issue their new document, that should go to Policy Scrutiny Group to look at.
Thank you.
And you also made the suggestion of Scrutiny Management Board in a similar way to look at the Customer Services Strategy and the Housing Acquisition Strategy in their mid-life cycle, and SMB again have decided to refer those to Policy Scrutiny Group rather than back here.
Thank you.
And there are a couple of things to note in relation to the Cabinet decision on the five-year housing supply scrutiny panel. So Cabinet resolved that if the five-year supply falls below 5.5 years, that doesn't make sense, is it? To note the decision that if the council's housing supply falls below 5.5 years, a quarterly report will be provided. So is it either or, Richard? Do you know?
Do you want
Would you like to come
on?
And join?
Good evening, members. Richard Bennett, Head of Planning. Members may recall that the issue of five-year supply was a matter of scrutiny by the Policy Scrutiny Panel. Their conclusions were put to the Scrutiny Management Board at its last meeting. And of the six recommendations I think they made, five were referred to Cabinet for consideration, and the Cabinet made some resolutions there, and one was referred back to this panel, which I believe the issue is falls under the actions requested number three, and the panel's here tonight to consider whether it should add an extra piece of work to its work programme, which appears on the, I think it's the appended table, and it's the last row of the table, on page 83.
Thank you.
And the panel are invited to consider whether to add further scrutiny of five-year supply as part of its work programme.
Councillor Wadley, did you want to add anything to that before we...
It depends how much depth you want to go into this, Chairman. That's a simple piece to resolve, as Richard has just said, about whether it's your wish this to be brought back to you. I think that this is a subject that is quite emotive but very difficult for us to manage, to be truthful to you, because most of this takes part is not within the sphere of our control. you know, we can't make, and this is often said, that we can't make developers build. I believe you me, we have tried to do that. We've had them here, we've had the developers here, mm-hmm. you know, we've had our MPs, we've had down to ministers, and we've got various reports. In fact, we've just waited for some guideline. I think it's the Letwin report has just been published, and we're now waiting for that to be digested, in a sense, to see where that takes us forward. I mean, I can go into details and stats, but I think you know all that, yes. Pretty much so, that I think you can be assured that delivery of homes is something that we are very anxious to do, because, frankly, it's a government objective, and we're here for this, and we need to be able to build these homes as required. And that, you know, we've been to public examination, we've said we're going to build these homes, and our job is to encourage developers to do them and to make sure that plan applications as appropriate are approved and or not.
So, views.
Before you go into the views, my understanding is that the scrutiny panel recommended that this report, quarterly report, was provided to the panel, and it was agreed at SNB that that would be the case. So you have an SNB decision that you are noting.
What I'm seeking clarification on is this a quarterly report full stop? Or is it a quarterly report by exception, only if the housing supply falls below?
It's only
by
exception.
I mean, sorry, if I may just interject here a little bit, just say, I mean, you all understand the complexities of calculating the 5-year supply. It's not just have you built the houses, it's houses that have been completed. You know, it's like a sausage, if you like, a sausage machine. This house is coming when it's only when they're completed, that is part of the calculation, and the obligations are that the developers, if you like, are should provide this information once a year. So what we're going to provide, what we can do, is the best that we can with the resources that we have available to provide an indicator, a trend, more than an accurate figure as whether our 5-year supply, where it is it remains static up or down.
Starting.
So that's
Councillor Bevington, then Councillor Hunt.
Yeah, I totally accept that it's an exception report, and it only needs producing if you think there's a problem. And it may be that you say because it's you're quite right. It's all you can do is work on the trend, and it may be saying, well, this is an aberration, in which case we get the report, but we don't actually need to do anything with it. It's only if we get the report and it says it's now moved below 5.5 and it's likely to get worse, that I think we need to take further action. But I would just leave it there, that it's available, and the planners will tell us when we need, you know, when they have something that they need to tell us.
They're frequently asked at various committees across this council whether they are or not. Councillor Hunt.
That's all right, thank you. Bill's dealt with it, thank you.
Mr. Bennett.
Chair, if I may, just assist on this issue. I think the difficulty is in the latter part of the request from SNB, is that to explain what actions are in place to return the 5-year housing supply to a satisfactory level. There's very little we can do apart from grant planning permission, and we can only do that based on the applications that are submitted to us. And again, we have little control of this. I think the worry is that the expectations of the panel may not be able to be satisfied by your officers, and I think that's my concern around it. In terms of keeping tabs on the 5-year supply position, Cabinet's resolution, which was to record the 5-year housing supply figure in as part of the corporate planning process, actually does provide an opportunity for this group to monitor that and to have these discussions anyway. So,
can I just interject there? The actions requested at point 3 is now. The actions requested at point 4 is from 2019 onwards. So that's why point 3 has been added already to the work programme.
Councillor Hunt.
I was only going to say, Councillor Bebbington dealt with 90% of it, and then Mr. Bennett went back to the point I was going to say. I think perhaps you're asking the wrong committee. I think I'm right. We need to, if you wish to query the point, you need to go back to the SNB, I think. Is that right?
They asked for the report.
I think so. I might be wrong.
Well, I think, Chair, my understanding is that these resolutions have been made.
Yeah.
So you will receive a report if colleagues in planning believe that we are falling below the 5.5 year figure. And as Nikki said, as from 2019-20, the 5 year housing supply figure will feature in the business plan, but I'm sure Councillor Vardy and Richard will correct me if I'm wrong. Within the business plan, it will be an annual year.
Yes, absolutely right. Correct.
Yeah.
Can I just add one other thing, just for your information? Really, it doesn't necessarily form part of the formal bit that we're talking about, but I'm hoping that to give some comfort, or whatever it is, to when we have our quarterly plan training, that we can include, if it's appropriate at that time, that just to give this thing on the trend. Where are we going with it? Because it is important in our decision making. I recognise that, and I know that you know, you need this kind of information when you're doing your decision making.
Yes. Okay. Thank you very much.
I can carry on, Chair.
Yes.
Item 5 on the actions requested. You asked for some information from the Head of Landlord Services about the customer engagement strategy.
Yes.
That's been given to you on page 73 in italics.
Yes.
So you then need to decide whether you wish to put back to Group and Management Board to suggest whether or not that strategy is scrutinised.
Right. Do you understand that?
Yeah.
No.
Right. We asked for... Point 5 on page 72, we asked the customer engagement strategy to be, would add value if we did that, scrutinise it, and we asked for further information, which is given bottom of page 72 and in the italics on page 73. And Alison is here.
Sorry.
All right. If we then have to decide what we're going to do.
Thank you.
Okay. So, did you want to add something, Alison?
Sorry, time is that.
Pardon?
This is Peter Oliver.
Peter Oliver, the customer engagement strategy. It's not me.
Oh, that's not you, is it? No.
Sorry.
So, you've got the information you need. Wanted. So what we've got to do is to decide.
I think, Chair, it was another one of these strategies where it's at approximately mid-term of its life.
Yes.
And you as a panel wanted to understand. Your first question, was it a corporate-wide engagement strategy, or was it specific to tenants? The answer is it is specific to tenants.
Yeah.
And it was another one of those where you might want, as a panel, to think about whether it, given it's halfway through its life cycle, whether it's worth scrutinising it. And obviously you don't have to, you can decide either way, but if you do decide it's worthy of scrutiny, you would have to go back to Scrutiny Management Board to suggest to them that they add it onto the work programme.
Yeah, I thought with this, maybe I'm mistaken, but I thought this is actually being put to the Policy Scrutiny Board.
No, that was the
customer.
That was the items under point 2, Chair.
Yes, that was
the customer service strategy
and the housing acquisition.
It's all right. It's
it gets
the customer services, not the customer
that's
engagement.
Right.
That's what's confusing me.
Why would we not scrutinise something when it was halfway through the programme? Because it sounds like a good idea to scrutinise it to me, but I'm not quite sure I understand why we're questioning it. I think I've misunderstood, because it sounds like a good idea to me.
I think if we go back to the previous meeting, a while ago, there was a decision made by the performance panel that they were going to look at policies and consider scrutinising them halfway through to see whether they were meeting their performance targets, whether there was anything that needed to be tweaked before the policy came to its end of its review cycle. So a couple of times ago you decided on doing the zero waste strategy as a test case. That was successful. So last time you looked at three policies. The two that you recommended through to Scrutiny Management Board to be put to your work programme, which they've said no. And then the other one was the customer engagement strategy, and you weren't quite clear on its scope. And so really this information is coming back to you. This is the scope now. So now would you like to scrutinising it? Because you'd already pre-identified it.
So do you
said no to the two we wanted and yes to the one we didn't.
Well, there were two that the panel felt did need scrutinising, and there was one that you felt you needed further information before you
We've
made
got
it.
Further information.
If you actually read the text in italics, Chair, Peter Oliver, the head of Landlord Services, has explained what he believes is the scrutiny that's already in place. So it's what he's saying is that strategy is already scrutinised by tenants via the Childhood Housing Residence Forum and via the Housing Management Advisory Board.
Okay. So we're okay. We don't need to, because it's already being scrutinised by the people it really affects. All right,
Councillor Forrest.
Well, I never disagree with Councillor.
I thought you were going to say you never agree with me then.
No, I disagree with you.
But the only reservation I have seriously, and I think it's one that Hadrian has just pointed out to us. I'm very happy to scrutinise it if we have a clear idea what it is we're scrutinising. But my reservation is that we may be duplicating the work that is done elsewhere.
I agree.
That's what
I agree.
We do.
Yes.
And there's no point which we get into a real muddle.
No, let's turn it into an SEP, someone else's problem. Let them do it. They're clever than we are.
Yes. Fine. Green.
Chair, one other item before you finish considering the work program. I believe Alison Simmons has something.
Yes, poor Alison. She's waited and waited.
Thank you, Chair. I just wanted to ask you whether you'd like to have an update on the home strategy in January.
Yeah.
Because we had that approved in March, and we should be giving you 6 monthly updates. And to date, I'm afraid I haven't booked it into your work plan.
Oh, yes.
Yes, please.
If I'm really honest, I might have missed it.
What about January?
That'd be fine, yeah.
That'd be fine, is that January meeting?
That's now four items, Jen, so.
Well, fantastic. Is that all right, Alison?
That's fine, thank you.
Thank you very much. I'm
thank
sorry
you
you've had to wait so long.
That's okay.
Right, ladies and gentlemen, I think that's the programme.
Okay.
And our next meeting, it's the 22nd of January, and the following meeting is the 19th of February.
Yeah.
Now, just to remind everybody, 22nd of January, we meet at 6 o'clock for our pre-meeting.